Bibles, turn with me to Nehemiah chapter number 3 tonight. Nehemiah chapter number 3. And I'm just enjoying the presence of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
John 4:24, the Bible said God is a spirit. Capital S. They that worship him must worship him in spirit, lowercase s, and truth. It's one reason I know I'm saved tonight, because me and Brother Daniel were talking a little bit earlier today. Once you've been in the fire, you're not satisfied with the smoke. Brother Daniel was talking there just a little bit earlier. There's a difference in being indwelt with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. I was raised in some God-fearing churches. Power of the Holy Spirit. I didn't always understand it. But I thank God for those men of God that stood, even when it was not easy. But they stood and preached in the power of the Holy Ghost, the very Word of God. I was in church 9 months before I was ever born. I'm just going to mind the Lord tonight. You may be here tonight. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different backstories. None of our stories are the same. We're all unique. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. Many times in this life, people walk into the church building and they look at certain people, maybe certain families, and they think, well, that family has it all together. Let me say tonight, there's not one family that has it all together.
Amen.
If we're all honest tonight, we're all broken people, fellow strugglers in this thing called the walk of life. I wish I could stand before you and tell you tonight that I have some heritage where my grandfather was a preacher or my daddy was a preacher. I can't tell you that. Matter of fact, if you think about the prodigal, the Bible said that he joined himself to a citizen of that country. If you study those parables, you'll see that somebody was searching for the coin. Somebody was looking for the lost sheep. And the father was looking for the son. Let me ask you something tonight. Who was looking for the citizen? The Bible said he joined himself to a citizen of that country. Let me remind you tonight that the prodigal, he knew what it was like to be in the father's house. The Bible said that the prodigal looked at his father one day and he wanted the father to give him his inheritance. And in that culture, it was as if he was looking at his father and saying, "I wish you were dead." It would have been a slap in his father's face, but his father gave him his inheritance. The Bible said he traveled to a far country, and there he wasted his substance on riotous living. But the Bible said that he joined himself to a citizen of that country. You see, that citizen, that was his place of living. That's where he was brought up. That's all he ever knew, was the far country. He didn't care anything about that prodigal. Why? Because he had seen prodigals come and go. He sent the prodigal out to do things that he didn't want to do. And you find that prodigal out there feeding on the husk that the swines did eat. Let me say tonight, for a child of God, you will not be satisfied with eating the husks of the swine. I got thinking about that citizen. Just close your Bibles up for a second. As they were looking for the coin, as they were looking for the sheep, as they were looking for the son, let me ask you that question. Who's going to go after the citizen? My mother moved from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Sister Sherry, when she was 11 years old, to Bristol, Virginia. And they moved right in beside my daddy. And they said the first time that they saw my daddy, he was up a tree hanging by his legs upside down. My mom was from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Didn't know anything about the Lord. Lived in a citizen's home. My daddy, his dad was a World War II vet. Before he went into the military, he said he didn't drink anything stronger than milk. But after what he saw and he came out, the story is told that he drunk anything that he could get his hands on. His daughter died at 21 years old, my dad's sister. My dad was 14 years old. The doctor said that it would either help my grandfather in his drinking or it would make him worse. And it made my grandfather worse. to where my daddy said it was literally like hell on earth. He didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew nothing about the gospel and the grace of God. He too lived in a citizen's home. My mom and dad, unbelievers. My mama got pregnant out of wedlock at 14 years old. They didn't know any better. They just lived in citizen's home. That's all they knew. They just did what they knew to do. At 15, she got pregnant with my brother. They got married. Who's going to go after the citizen? One day before I was born, somebody cared enough. One man. I don't know who he is. But one day when I get up in heaven, I want to thank him. There was a citizen's home. My mom and dad. That he cared enough to come by. A little less than a half a mile. From Bethel Baptist Church. On Mock Knob Road. And knocked on the door. My mama's house and invited her to Bethel Baptist Church. This citizen, knowing nothing about church, on her own, started going to Bethel Baptist Church. Where, thank God, there was a man of God filled with the Holy Ghost that stood up and preached the true gospel of the grace of God. That there is only one way. And that is Christ and Christ alone. My mom got under Holy Ghost conviction. And let me say today, it still takes the raw drawing power of the Holy Ghost. It still takes Holy Ghost conviction, or us Baptists like to say Holy Spirit, but he's the same thing, same God, amen, same person. John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except for the Father which sent me draw him. If you're saved here tonight, there is a place you could go back to where the Holy Spirit of God convicted you, drawed you, shined the light of the glorious gospel down in your dark soul. Amen. Revealed Christ to you. Showed you as lost. Showed you he is the only way. And you agreed with God that you was a sinner. And that he was the Savior. And you accepted him by grace through faith. My mama got saved. Then she started working on my daddy. My daddy didn't know anything about the house of God. And he started coming. And for too long, the gospel, the Holy Spirit of God, started convicting his heart. He got saved. My grandmother got saved. My uncle that preaches got saved. Mom said when she was baptized, she was well pregnant with me. And she said, I remember telling the preachers, just don't hurt my baby. So when Dwayne Dillard was born September the 27th, 1979, to Bill and Linda Dillard in Bristol, Tennessee. All I ever knew was Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting. When we got old enough to sing, Dad had that old 12-string guitar. We'd start singing. We would never leave our home church. We were always faithful to our home church, but we would sing in revivals and things like that in between our home church services. And that's all I ever knew. But I got thinking, how would my life look today if there wasn't a Nehemiah? Yeah. If there wasn't one person who had a burden? And not only did he have that burden where it broke his heart, he went out to a citizen. How many citizens are within a half a mile of Valley View Baptist Church? How many citizens are within 2 miles of Valley View Baptist Church? Know nothing about the Lord. You see, we're quick to say, can you believe that they're doing this? Can you believe that they're doing that? That's all they know. They're just doing what they know. They don't know anything about church. They don't know anything about the grace of God. Who's going to go after the citizen? What would my life look like if one man would have not cared enough to go down? Back then it was called New Bethel Road. Where would we be today? Where would I be? If you turn over in your Bibles to John chapter number 4, this is very familiar scripture tonight. John chapter number 4, the gospel according to John. Verse number 1, the Bible said, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. If you know anything about your Bibles tonight, you know that the Jews, the Bible said, had no dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritans was half Jew and half Gentile, and there was a prejudice there from the Jews' standpoint. But I'm glad on Jesus' divinely appointed schedule, the Bible said he must needs go through Samaria. You know this biblical account. I'm not taking the time to read it all tonight, but there is a woman of Samaria there who came to draw water from the well. Jesus and her had this conversation. Verse number 7 of chapter number 4. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Look at verse 9. Then saith a woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And notice in your Bibles, the Lord, during this time, and what he is saying to this Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman at this point in time does not understand who she is talking to. Verse 11, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? He asked that question, or she asked that question. Verse number 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his cattle and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So this got this woman's attention. And notice what she said. The woman said in verse 15, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So you notice the progression. She does not yet understand who he is. She called him a Jew up there in verse number 9. She asked the question in verse 12, Art thou greater than our father Jacob? She said there in verse 15, Give me this water. Jesus said, Go get your husband. She said, I have no husband. He's wanting her to realize that she is a sinner. But you notice when Jesus starts drilling in, this woman does like many people who are religious but are lost. She begins to start speaking about religion. Because she says there in verse number 19, the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She says, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what? We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And here's the verse I quoted tonight, John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. How did she know that? I'll tell you how she knew it. Some sow, some water, but it's God that gives the increase. Somewhere down the line, somebody threw out the seed about Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful tonight, it's not he that soweth or he that watereth is anything. They're nothing, the Bible declares, but it's God who gives the increase. So he's beginning to get her attention. She's no longer calling him a Jew or a prophet, or are you greater than our father Jacob? When she tried going to the religious side, Jesus jumps right in there and said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus saith unto her right there in verse number 26, he said, I that speak unto thee am he. Notice verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh a harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And you'll go down there in verse number 39. It said, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. And let me say tonight, I'm thankful that Jesus knows exactly where you're at tonight. He knows exactly where I'm at tonight. And I'm thankful there is no coincidences and are no coincidences with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad he's still passing by sinners' ways today. I want you to go back tonight and think where you were when you heard the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when the Holy Spirit of God took time to pass by your way, and you recognized and you realized that you were lost, and that Jesus was and is who he said he is, and that you accepted him by the marvelous grace of God. If you're saved here tonight, you'll know it. If you're not saved tonight, it's a good night to get saved. I'm glad somebody went to the citizen. I'm glad there was somebody that cared enough about my mama to knock on the door. I'm glad, thank God, it was the same Jesus that saved this Samaritan woman, was the same Jesus that saved my mama. And I'm thankful that she ran out to those men who probably knew her very well and said, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And many believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by her sayings. But you know what happened? Many of them wanted him to hang around, and many of them believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some things he knows about you tonight. Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? He knows where you're at tonight. He knows where you've been. And he knows where you're going. So I want to ask you something. Back on Super Bowl Sunday night, it was time for preaching, and I got up and I mounted the pulpit just like this. The Holy Spirit of God stopped me in my tracks. He drew my attention to this young 30-some-year-old daddy, husband, that was sitting on the front pew. You can count on one hand in my whole ministry that I've done this. That boy got saved about a year ago. He's on fire for God, bringing more people into the church than I've ever seen. I mean, pews full of people. And I looked at him, I said, Brother Jesse, come up here and give your testimony. I didn't realize when we were taking him through discipleship class, he'd penned his testimony down. And he got pages of notes out, man. He jumped up there, and I wasn't expecting that. But man alive, he started bragging on the Lord and his upbringing, how God got a hold of him that Sunday morning and accepted Christ as his personal Savior. Then I stood up there. I didn't open it up to the whole church. And God drew my eyes back a couple pews to my Sarah Grace that was here the other night. And if you know anything about Sarah Grace, I mean, she's daddy's baby. She knows you. She'll talk to you. She'll be polite to you. She'll be kind to you. But she's a little quiet, a little shy. She'll smile at you. I'm good. How are you? And she... She got up there and started telling her testimony about her life. It's all she ever knew. It's the Lord's work. Brother Daniel, she had made some professions when she was little. But there's one thing that I did know. If she wasn't saved, God's merciful. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. God broke her heart. I believe this Brother Petty there was telling me about it the other night. God broke my daughter's heart. And she said, I thought I was saved. She said, but God got a hold of me. And she starts weeping and she starts sharing this. She said, I went home that night and I followed my daddy to the room, his bedroom, and my daddy looked at me and said, something wrong, sweetie. And she just broke. She said, Dad, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I went and got her mama. Me and her mama led her to the Lord. But she started a weeping, Sister Danielle, and she was crying. And she said, if you're here tonight, you don't know you're saved. She encouraged them to come. She took her seat. Called on one young preacher. He got up all energetic, bragging on Jesus, and we closed the service. It's much like what the Lord's doing here tonight. The next Sunday, we had an evangelist, Brother Billy Sampson. He preached that morning on the hottest topic in the Bible. And he preached on hell with a burden. How many of us know that hell is still real? That as we've been in this meeting this week, as we have been about our day to day, there's been many take their last breath. Without Christ, they took their last breath with religion, but without Christ, and lifted their eyes in a devil's hell. Sunday night, we come back to church. Preacher preached. He turned it back over to me. I looked back to this corner. This boy, about 12 years old, jumped up. He didn't even say anything to his mom and dad, and he jumped up. I mean, a ball. And he came up and I said, what's your need, son? He said, I need to get saved. Amen. I was talking to his daddy and he said, I really believe that night your daughter got up and gave her testimony. Yeah. He got under conviction. I close that service that night like I'm going to close this service tonight. I said, I just called three people's names tonight. And they got up and told their story. And I'm not going to do this, but I want you to let the Holy Spirit of God take inventory of your spiritual life. But what if I called on you tonight as an individual? What if I called on you tonight and said, sir, tell me your story. Ma'am, tell me your story. Here's my question. Do you have a story to tell? It wasn't enough for somebody just going to the citizen, my mama. Even her going to church and sitting on a pew, that's good. Even hearing the word, that's great. Even Holy Ghost conviction, sitting in that pew and God the Holy Spirit drawing her and showing her she's lost. If you remember, King Agrippa said, oh, most persuadest thou me to be a Christian. Amen. You can be right there on the brink. You could be right there on the brink tonight. God the Holy Spirit is convicting you right in your seat tonight. And you're saying, I don't have a story. Here's what made the difference. What she did with the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was revealed to her. So here's what I'm going to ask on this Wednesday night. God convicted me, and I was a lost church member on my way to hell. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was a pastor's son-in-law. I was Sunday school superintendent. I'd made professions. But there was one Wednesday night. I was there every time the doors was open. If something would have happened to me, my pastor would have got up over my body. Would have said, based on his testimony, he's in the presence of the Lord. But there's only one problem with that. I was a lost church member. One Wednesday night, my pastor, Brother Les, didn't ask some deep theological question. Here's what he asked Wednesday night. How long have you been saved? Seems simple enough. He started asking a year. Hands started going up. 5 years. And so on. The Holy Spirit of God come in that pew right where I was. and convicted my heart, drawed me, showed me I was lost. And if I was honest with myself and honest with God, I didn't raise my hand that night. I was under conviction. God was merciful to me that night. I didn't go up that night. Next Sunday morning, I went to church just like we're here tonight. Again on Sunday night. Us young married couples were standing out there on the front steps of Central Baptist Church. And thank God. A missionary stuck his head out that side door and said, "There's people getting saved in here." So naturally, I walked back in Central Baptist Church. And I walked up about that side right there, sit about three pews back, three rows back. And God, the Holy Spirit, was convicting me and said, my heart, I was sitting there and the Holy Spirit of God was convicting me in such a way. And the enemy was like, what would people think? You're a Sunday school teacher. Oh, what would people think? But you know what? I knew hell was real. I knew when I was under conviction that hell was real. I remember laying there awake at night, knowing if something happened to me, that I'd lift my eyes in a devil's hell. I had to make up my mind what I'd do with Christ. And I had to let pride aside. I had to throw up that old white flag of surrender spiritually. And Brother Brian, I'll never forget. That was one of the hardest. I was under conviction. God had got a hold of me. But praise God. Hell woke me up. But it was the goodness of God that draws a man under repentance. I didn't understand, Brother Daniel, such love. Why would he love somebody like me? But he did. I stood up, I'll never forget it. And I took that step of faith right there. I went to the altar and my pastor embraced me. He said, "You remember?" I said, "No, I need to get saved." I got down on an altar. He said, "Preacher, what did you say?" I don't remember what I said. And it does not matter. Amen. It matters in whom you have believed. You say, when did you get saved? When he got a hold of me and I made a decision to get out of that pew and took that step of faith believing. It didn't matter what I said. Praise God. Amen. I got born again. And not only did I get born again, there were six others that got born again. And one of them was the treasurer of the church, less his handbud in his handbud. Got born again, the same testimony. One question, when did you get saved? And I'm going to tell you something tonight. That's one question you better answer honestly. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how much money you've given to the church. I don't care how much good deeds you've done, how many rituals you've done, how many times you've been baptized, or if you're a member. It doesn't matter if your daddy was a deacon or if your grandfather was a preacher. It does not matter. Jesus said you must be born again. Amen. He must be born again. I got up at night, whoo, that burden was rolled away. Praise God. I'm no longer an orphan. Someone has rescued me. I remember walking over to my house, and I was a weeping and I was a crying. And my oldest boy, it's married now, he's just a little fella. I went up there and I called my daddy, who many times, I didn't think about this. When I was younger, I'd look through that house many a time. I'd see my daddy dead on his knees beside that bed. And as I've gotten older, God has brought to my heart. He was praying for me. He was praying for my brother. He was praying for my sister. And I went and I picked up the phone and said, Dad, I got saved. He wept. I wept. Little did I know my oldest son was listening. And he went down there and he's tugging on his mama. He said, Mama, Daddy just got saved. I want to tell you something. When you truly get born again, it'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in your home. So here's my question tonight to you. And it's between you and God. Salvation's personal tonight. God will not force himself on anybody. He is a perfect gentleman. But he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. On this Wednesday night at Valley View Baptist Church, third night of revival, God has so blessed us with his presence tonight. Amen. There's a song we used to sing. I want us to be together in heaven. It's no coincidence you're here tonight. I've been telling you, I've been honest with you this week. Please tonight, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you and you're not sure about your salvation, or he has showed you that you are lost, please, please tonight, lay that pride down. Because I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. That imputed righteousness. That song said, this coat, it fits me. It keeps me so warm. It's good in the winter and it's good in the storm. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old coat and I put on the new. And now when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy, but not as I am. He sees me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy. And it washed me. This I know. So tonight, if I ask you to tell your story, do you have one to tell? Let's bow our heads tonight. Brother Daniel.
Story. Brother Dwayne was speaking there, and I thought about when I got saved, and my daughter was a baby, and Kyle wasn't born. The preacher asked me this question. He said, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin and come into your life? I said, no, sir, I've never done that. He said, thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart. And I said, that's what I need to do. That's what I need to do. Didn't know what God would do. Didn't know how God would deal with all my baggage that I had in my life. But that's his department. That's his department. Believed in Jesus all my life. Went to church as a kid. But I wasn't saved either. Thank God. Thank God somebody came and they came on visitation. I got saved on a Thursday night visitation at home. Thank God for that. So nobody can answer this question for you. But, you know, listen. If you got conviction in your heart tonight that you're lost, I'm gonna tell you what, it's not coming from Satan. It's coming from Jesus. He wants to save you and he loves you. He died on the cross for you so you could be saved. He's calling, he's speaking to your heart. You hear a call, there's a pull, there's a tug. There's something saying, man, woman, man, what, you need to be saved. You may not have another opportunity. People want to put things off. You may not have another chance. You may not have another chance to be saved. I'll tell you this real quick while you got your heads bowed. Brother Dwayne will back this up. That same, his father-in-law that led him to the Lord, there was a woman in his church, a girl that come to church on Sunday morning. First time she ever came. And she got saved that morning. She made a profession. She said, I'll be back tonight. And she got killed in a car wreck on the way back to church on Sunday night. Thank God she got saved on Sunday morning. If she'd have said, I'm going to wait till tonight, she'd have died lost. And we were riding back from a restaurant. And Brother Les said, right here is where that girl got killed. Right here, right by the spot. Today is the day of salvation. We get saved when God convicts us, not when on our timetable, it's on his. If you need to be saved tonight, if you're not sure, if there's a little bit of doubt, why not get it settled tonight? Amen. Yes. We'll have our invitation song in it. You need to be saved. You come forward and you get my attention, Brother Dwayne, somebody up here lead you to the Lord, show you what it means to be saved. And I tell you what, when it's a reality, it changes your life. Think of Dwayne's testimony. I knew the testimony. John Payne used to come up here. He was the treasurer. We're all friends. Sunday school superintendent, Sunday school teacher, yet lost. And listen, he's not alone. There's plenty of church people that's been in church all their life, and they're lost, and they've gone to hell from a church pew because they never really surrendered and gave their life to Christ. You need to do that tonight. Tonight's the night. Amen.